Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. So I think we're both recovering from 4th of July.
I'm on my second coffee.
Yes, I had to stop you from drinking it right before we started recording.
Ice really hits the microphone.
But we're here and we're ready to talk about The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills season 9 finale. Mm-hmm. We need to talk about Southern Charm because Ashley is back.
Thank goodness.
Real Housewives of Potomac, that insane dinner party.
Woo!
And then, of course, Rose and Thorne.
Plus, we have interviews today with Shep Rose from Southern Charm and Hannah Ferrier from Below Deck Med. So because we know that the Daily Dish listeners are true Bravoholics, we want to remind you guys about a very special opportunity.
Bravo Insider is a members-only experience for the biggest of Bravo fans.
Once you've joined, you'll get new and exciting content each month, like early access to trailers, a chance to win Watch What Happens live tickets, and something we're all excited about, the latest updates on BravoCon.
This month, insiders were the first to see a hilarious, never-before-seen video from The Real Housewives of Potomac, and Bravo Asks Bravo, where different Bravo celebrities submit a question to their fellow Bravo stars to answer.
See, they're fans too.
Insiders also have an opportunity to submit a question for the one and only Andy Cohen.
So don't be left out. Join Bravo Insider via the link in our description for your chance to win free swag and exclusive content. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills has come to a close.
I mean, I'm sad, but whenever a season ends, I just get excited for the reunion.
I know. That's very true.
But this was a really good finale episode.
The first thing I wanted to ask you is, did we know PK had a daughter in England?
PK's daughter, Atlanta, who's 18 years old, is just moved to the United States. He can't come to Mo's party. I would like him to be with me, but I completely understand.
I feel like at one time or another, it came up that he had children from a previous marriage. I don't remember.
I don't either. But yeah. I felt like the way Dorit mentioned it in her interview was very much like, this is new information I'm giving you guys. Because I was like, Atlanta, who is this woman? What? What's going on? Like, I was totally blindsided by that.
Right.
But I am glad that we got a little bit more into the lawsuit territory. Because yes. That is something that has been kind of on the internet and like a sort of understory this season that we really haven't gotten to see on air.
Yeah, and I mean, Dorit still didn't fully talk about it, but she did go into the fact that Beverly Beach is being sued by a former partner and how it's had like a devastating effect on her business. And like I think I've mentioned before, I know at the reunion, Andy kind of brings it up. So I wonder if they'll show that because I mean, it was interesting to hear from the ladies' point of view about why they feel like it is not relevant.
Interesting.
To talk about?
Well, I think it's also tough, too, because being a lawsuit, you probably legally cannot say things if it's not cleared up. So
right.
It's sort of like as much as fans might be like, we want more. Like, why are they not talking about it? But it just depending on where it is, they might not be able to say anything.
And I guess I see both points of view because it's like as a fan, if you're hearing that, I'm just going to make this up. But like if someone is being sued for lying about something they have, okay, as a fan, you're like, I want to know what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
But from their point of view, it's when you become rich, everyone is suing you for like crazy reasons that most of the time aren't even true, but they just want to get it out there.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, is it a lawsuit because there's something happening? Is it a press opportunity? You never
right.
know what the real intention is there. And I feel like, you know, regardless, there's been a lot of kind of press around this lawsuit. So at least we're getting a little bit of a hint. And I just love the way Dorit brought it up as she was like riding around the room on the little like bicycle thing. Like I was just like, what are you doing?
The sound editing was amazing.
Perfect. Well, on the flip side of like lawsuits, businesses, bankruptcy, we have Maurizio's party for what, the 29th? Agency location or something crazy?
Something insane.
I mean, how far have they come with this? It's incredible.
And not in that long of a time span.
Right. I actually don't think I realized that it was only, what, 2011 or 12
yeah.
or something like that, that he was like, I think I'm going to branch off and do my own thing.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't that long ago.
I know.
Congratulations, Maurizio.
congratulations, Kyle, who, I mean, like, you know, does her own thing for sure. But, like, she just gets to sit back and watch that money roll in.
Truly. And I love that Maurizio, no matter what and how big the business gets, he is always rocking an agency hat in every scene where he's, like, dressed casually. Like, he is like, this is still an opportunity to plug, okay?
Also, can I just say that you're saying Maurizio? It's Mauricio.
Maurizio. Listen, I'm just going to call him Maurice, okay? Because Kim did for a long time. Yeah, and actually, Maurice. What was the story? There was a story behind it. Didn't Kyle talk about it on the after show or something?
I don't know.
There was a reason that came out as to why Kim called him Maurice. I think because they knew someone else named Mauricio at the time. Mm. And so they had to just, like, abbreviate it. So it wasn't Kim Richards just, like, not remembering his name. Like, there was a reason behind it.
She's like, you're the new one, so I'm just going to shorten it.
I have trouble pronouncing things. I always used to call Sonia Sonia.
That makes sense, though, because we always hear Luann say Sonia.
Right, exactly. And
I
then
still say it.
I think there's one other Bravo Leb whose name I don't say.
Judice.
That I just still don't know how to
say. Yeah, none of us. No one does.
I think even the Giudices say it differently every time. So, like, I don't know. Okay. Teresa G. That's it.
Well, can we talk about the party?
Yes, please.
Camille.
When we left the farmhouse, she was actually remorseful.
Oh, bye bye.
I will show up.
I'll be there Thursday.
I will be there.
See you.
I'll be joining us Thursday.
I will have to say I'm sorry.
You know what? Camille's just not like you.
I know.
And now she comes in here, guns blazing. What is going on here?
What?
All over the place.
All over the place. And what's weird about Camille is, you know, I hear this term a lot on Housewives, rage and regret.
Mm-hmm.
She goes off and then she's immediately sorry. So she had gone to that dinner, made these terrible accusations about Dorit. And then at the end of the dinner, what we didn't see is her being like, I'm sorry. I don't know why I did that. And then she comes in hot at this agency party and she's like, you all threw me under the bus.
Right. I mean, it was so funny. I love the editing again, cutting back to her being like, I'm so sorry. Like, just like so apologetic. And then she comes into this like super hot and you're just like, oh, my God, which Camille am I going to get today? And I love that we got this Camille.
Can I tell you, it's a lot of that at the reunion.
I mean, I'm not surprised just based on the way it ended just now. Like, I feel as though without Lisa Vanderpump there, who else is everybody sort of going to have an issue with? It's Camille.
But to be fair, for the most part in Provence, everyone got along. Camille has issues because Camille says a lot of things.
Because it's Camille's fault that she has issues with everyone. But, like, thank goodness for that. And the other thing, too, though, that I didn't even really take into account until when I was watching it with Danny, he was sort of like, Camille's kind of going through a lot right now. Like, I think her behavior is a little bit amplified just because of the fact she did lose her home. She lost her longtime assistant. So there is a sense of, like, she's probably grieving. She's probably really stressed out. You know, it's sort of, she's in a very difficult place right now. And I think everything else that's happening, she's maybe just letting it out that way. Does that make sense?
No, for sure. I mean, you kind of see it. Like, it's all taking a toll on her.
Yeah. My other note that I wrote down was, what does David think about all of this? Because we don't always see the house husbands getting involved, but once in a while we do. PK has, you know, thrown his opinion into the ring very often, and even Mauricio has, you know, stepped in here and there, especially with drama with Kim and whatnot. But we haven't really gotten a lot of him, and he's been present for a lot of big moments, like when, you know, Dorit called Camille a cunt, and like just her behavior at this party. Like, we don't really get his perspective on anything, and I'm so curious, is he sort of like, what the hell did I get involved with? Or is he just kind of like, this is the woman I love?
I don't know, because at first I thought, you know, he's probably just the strong, silent type.
Yeah.
But the fact that she said on the Beverly Hills After Show that her kids weren't really crazy about him makes me think that he does have a personality. We're just, for whatever reason, not seeing it.
Right. Yeah, no, that is a good point. I think maybe that's what I was also kind of thinking of subconsciously. Like, well, we do kind of get a little bit of backstory from him from the after show, but we're not really seeing exactly what he's like and what he's about.
Maybe that's the difference between a friend of and a housewife. We don't get as much of the spouse.
Was he backstage at the reunion?
Not that I saw.
He was busy. I checked his calendar.
I busy. Mean, to be fair, none of the spouses were there. I don't know.
Nobody?
That, no, I mean.
No PK?
No PK. No PK.
Paul Kemsley? Interesting.
Harry Hamlin did not stop by from what I saw.
He was camping.
But then there's also this weird reason why Camille's mad at Teddy. That Teddy blew off her daughter at the airport?
Right.
What?
I don't know. I mean, maybe Teddy truly just didn't recognize her. Maybe. I don't know. I'm confused by that whole situation.
It's confusing.
Yeah. Teddy was like, I said hi to everyone. But I also think Camille's daughter is in that very specific, like, teen angst age where, like, she just is, like, mad. But I feel like maybe she just, like, felt snubbed, but, like, Teddy didn't mean to snub her.
Right.
I think it's very sensitive when, you know, especially with the housewives, they're always, like, meeting new people. They're in situations where fans might be around, especially if it's at the airport. There could be paparazzi. Like, you don't know what the situation really could have been, but I don't know. Do you think she snubbed her?
I can't imagine she would.
I'll tell you what.
My wedding. That is not right for them.
No, not about the wedding, obviously.
I can be friend. No, shut it down. I can be friend. Shut it down.
Don't be so condescending all the time.
Honestly, you're not worth my time.
Do you think Camille is just looking for one more reason to not like Teddy?
I don't know. Shut it down.
Yeah, I think shut it down. I loved that. That was so good. I just think Camille and Teddy are kind of very different people, and they're never going to see eye to eye on a lot of things. We saw that from pretty much the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm going to save it for my thorn, but we're going to talk a little bit about that little luncheon about LVP.
Mm, okay, good. Okay, so I was talking about this in the office with someone, but so Southern Charm.
Mm-hmm.
Love the theme song. Can't get enough.
Ba-ba-doo.
You know, but yeah, exactly. I know all the words, except every episode this season, they're adding a new line to the song.
Oh, I haven't noticed that.
They keep making it like writing a line based on the episode.
They're like, and now she's in trouble.
Yeah.
<Ba-ba-doo>.
And now Craig has a friend she named after him. And
so I'm just
picturing the singer-songwriter of the song, like Bravo keeps being like, hey, so we need you to come back to the... And she's probably like, dude, I wrote that song like 10 years ago.
Right.
Let me move on.
I kind of like that. I feel like that's almost a good device that other shows should take into account. Like they're kind of teasing you at the beginning of like what's to come. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ba-ba-doo. I wanted to ask you if Eliza's mom is the Dale of Charleston.
Y'all need to recover the sofa.
We're getting new ones.
This is like early funeral parlor.
Okay.
Your clip is kind of clashing with the overwhelming looking at your nails.
They need to get redone.
She seems almost harsher than Dale.
Right? Okay, yeah. I think she is probably a little bit harsher than Dale, but I just like as soon as she came in and just started like looking at Eliza and like nitpicking here and there.
She's
like,
this couch looks like it belongs in a funeral parlor. Right? Like just bop, bop, bop. Like
yeah,
there's
no,
so
it
many
was
things.
So good. I'm enjoying peeling back the layers and figuring out exactly who Eliza is because I think we haven't gotten a lot of her in previous seasons and now she's around a lot more. So bringing the mom into the situation was great. And I was like, she's basically the Paris Hilton of Charleston, like hotels, you know, like smaller than the Hilton hotels, but like
still, you know,
inns. Bed and breakfast, if you will.
I'm the Paris Hilton of hostels.
I mean, essentially, right? She does, you know, the Lime houses are like pretty big deals. Well, and then, you know, Eliza really did us all a favor
mm-hmm.
and brought Ashley back into the situation. I think her intentions probably were good and maybe...
Oh, no.
No?
No.
You think she just wanted to start...
First of all, are you really that good of friends with Ashley? I can't imagine that she is.
Probably not.
Second of all, you are new to this group. How is this going to help you by being like this person who has talked so much shit about all of you? Yeah, I'm inviting her to my party.
Talked so much shit about you literally a week ago.
Yes.
Both on Twitter and in person, calling Naomi
talking,
a bitch.
We're not talking about that right now. So shut your mouth.
Ashley was giving me a little bit of the Camille, like back and forth, like two-faced, like yes. Not sure what we were fighting about, but like.
Well, just being like, hey, I'm just so sorry. And like, hey, you need to shut your mouth about that. Like, it was just, what's happening?
Right, right.
No, of course I'm sorry. I never want to hurt anyone. You know, I wouldn't want to be hurt. I'm a nurse, but I need to empathize more. I'm sorry that ever I hurt her.
But on social media, you're still like saying all the things that you were saying in the past.
Well, I don't really want to get into that, Madison. So I'm just going to say, just keep your mouth shut.
No, I mean, I think having Ashley back is great because she was such a pivotal character last season. And it just was like people were tuning in week over week being like, what is she going to say now? And she came in hot to this dinner or lunch, whatever it technically was. And she really delivered.
I mean, yes.
Do you think she's going to continue working, quote unquote, to make amends? Or is she just going to start shit?
I mean, I don't think we're going to see much of her after this.
You don't?
I don't. I mean, am I wrong?
I mean, in the super tease that came out at the beginning of the season.
Right. That's true. She'll be at there's going to be her appearing at a party.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
What's interesting is that she was presented to everyone or showed up to everyone. Catherine wasn't there.
Yeah.
So who was the first to text Catherine in that situation? Danny?
Probably.
Like, if you were friends with Catherine and you were sitting there, wouldn't that be the first thing you did?
Yeah. Oh, 1,000%.
I'd be like, you'll never believe who's here.
Also, do you believe Ashley when she says that Patricia is the real mastermind of all the drama surrounding Ashley and Catherine?
I took the bait. I was a pawn in this whole thing. Everyone says it's Thomas, it's Thomas. You want to know who's the one that was talking all the shit about Catherine constantly? Patricia. There's a lot more than you know. She was the one that was telling me it was always Catherine. Catherine says you're not a nurse. She's saying this about you. She's saying this about you. She got me worked up and she's like, but don't tell anyone I told you. And I believe Patricia. I respect her. She can't be lying to me.
The interesting thing is I don't not believe her.
Exactly.
Oh, so I feel like she may be stretching the truth a little bit. And I feel like you never are really going to know the root of any situation like that. I mean, we've seen it across other franchises. You know, you'll never really know who is the actual snake, perhaps.
Mm.
I feel like Patricia has probably, given her role in Charleston society, pulled a lot of strings to get things the way they are. But I feel like now with her relationship with Catherine, I don't know if I really think that she had that much of a part in it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that. Well, the interview you had with Patricia, she kind of hinted that there is going to be some crazy things happening the rest of this season.
That's true.
So I feel like, given Ashley's reintroduction, she might be at the center of some of that. Also, have you ever done Bar Method?
I have.
Did you want to die?
Yeah. Like, so I only did that one once. I actually was cursed with a really bad instructor who just was mean. Like, just rude.
Now you know how ballerinas feel. Okay.
But like Pure Bar or Fly Bar, like I've done all those other like bar classes and I love them because they burn the shit out of your legs. You're like, oh, this is working.
Right. I mean, Catherine was crushing it. I really appreciated Austin being like, oh my God. Because I was like, that would be me like in the middle of that class. But Catherine was crushing it.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Before we wrap up, what about Craig and Naomi? What is happening? Is it resolved? I don't know.
It's all weird.
It is weird.
It's not natural to be in the same friend group as your ex.
Right. I mean, I think that adds such a layer of complication. And in addition to that, it does seem like they're at different stages of the breakup. Like, Naomi's moved on. She has Matul, all the man she needs. And Craig is sort of just like trying to make pillows and doesn't really, you know, like he doesn't seem to have moved on the same way that she has.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel bad watching that.
But also, I don't really like the way that she is like, I need to keep this relationship working so Craig can't be part of my life. Like, that's weird.
Yeah, when she sat down with Cameron and Shep and was talking about, like, I'll never get a man like this again. And even Shep was like, whoa, like, don't say that about yourself. That's not a way to think, and that's not a way to be in a relationship. Like, I kind of felt bad for her because maybe however she has been affected by her relationship with Craig, she's like, I need to latch onto this guy. But just, like, take it easy.
Yeah. You're great, too.
Yeah. Naomi. You're great.
This isn't big enough to be a thorn, but Whitney ordering a green juice and whiskey, like, I, even right now, it makes me want to vomit. Just, I can taste the combination in my mouth.
Well, I actually Googled it when I heard that because I was like, is this a thing or is this just like him on his weird health kick, like trying to make his own drink or something? And I guess there is like this new age movement of like healthy mixers for your cocktails. I'm like, well, drinking number one is like never going to be healthy for you. So stop trying to make it healthy. Like at least just like get a whiskey Coke, you know, at that rate. But whatever. But yeah, I was just like, I don't feel like that is a very good combination.
Hmm.
Nice try, Whitney.
Nice try. So I got a chance to sit down with Southern Charm's Chef Rose. He had had a long night before coming in for his morning interview. I think you'll maybe hear that in his voice a little bit. That did not stop him, though, from talking about his predictions for the Southern Charm reunion, his thoughts on Eliza, and receipts. Yep, we talk about it. All right, welcome, Shep, to the podcast again.
Thank you.
So you came in and said you had a great night last night.
Yeah, I did have a good night. I did watch What Happens Live with Adam Devine, and they didn't even know. The weird thing is they didn't know that we had already met. We had hung out a handful of times because he's doing the new show with Danny McBride in Charleston called The Righteous Gemstones. It's Danny plays a mega pastor in a church, which, God, it sounds so funny, like so ripe for skewering, of course.
So after Watch What Happens Live.
Right. So these hockey players that won the St. Louis Blues, they were at the bar, and Andy is enamored with any sports team from St. Louis and any tall, handsome athlete. Of course, I'm kind of joking, but he was great. He was great. He came out. He met us. And we laughed and laughed and laughed. It was great having him.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I wonder if he would go out if it was just me and Craig. Probably not.
When you're out with Andy, how much do you guys talk about stuff that's happening on Bravo and on Southern Charm?
I mean, I talked to him for a brief moment about that, but mostly I was talking about the Grateful Dead. We're both hippies.
More important stuff, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this season of Southern Charm is amazing. And I was worried, to be honest, because last season was so good. I was like, can it live up? And it is.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to even compare seasons, you know, because when you're in it, you don't know. But
are you in a good place with Austin?
I love Austin. And I know Austin's a good soul. I do. And I've told him, we've talked a lot. Not one single friend of Austin supports that relationship. Not one. Not even a little bit. So, and it's crazy to me because if you give me even a scintilla of reason to get out of a relationship, I will jump at it, tackle it. And so, I mean, if 6 of my friends were like, we don't like your girlfriend, I'd be like, okay, all right, I need to go this way. You know what I mean? Anyway, I love Austin. I always will. We've had too many good times for me to ignore the good times that we've had, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I think my favorite Shep moment this season thus far has been when Austin was calling Madison to figure out what happened at the bar. And you were like, why does he care so much? I have never cared about anyone that much.
I have cared about somebody that much, but not with like strike 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, like literally, like I've cared about someone that deserved to be cared about, if that makes any sense. So, but it's been a long time since I've cared about that person, and God bless her wherever she is. But yeah, like I said, I just don't. If someone does you wrong, it's so easy to walk away. In my book, but you know, I could go on and on, but we'll probably get in trouble again because I can't really be. Let's talk after the season. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah.
I am excited for the reunion because.
Oh my God, the reunion's going to be insane.
That's what Craig said.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. And Craig can't be alone for 2 seconds. So he'll be like, oh, I hate that person. And then they're like, what are you doing tonight? He's like, anything. I can't be alone. You know, like, so it's just funny. Yeah, the reunion's going to be insane. So stick around for that. I mean, and I vacillate and oscillate. You know, those are the same things, right? And fans do those. Vacillate and oscillate. I'm a big fan. Between like trying to, you know, and I've said it on the show before, like, oh, take the high road. But if you come at me, I will absolutely eviscerate you. Mm-hmm. And you'll just stay tuned this season because she comes at me and I don't know what I'm going to do about it, but I know a lot of information too.
Well, if I could offer some advice at the reunion, bring the receipts.
I think if you carry receipts, you are a loser in life. I do, but I hear what you're saying, but like, I'm talking about like physically carry receipts.
Well,
wow. I mean, you write, like, can you imagine, like, being like, oh, and you write on the back of the receipt, airport, Us Magazine, and, like, trying to expense that or whatever. I'm just, something about receipts makes me, like, depressed.
Let's talk about fans again. Okay. Eliza has joined us this season.
Fans?
Because you like them. They vacillate. And,
go ahead, vacillate.
Like, yeah.
Go ahead, please. What are you going to say about Eliza?
No,
she's innocent, honestly. She is, and she's a sweet person, but she talks too much. But she's so sweet. Like, I mean, how can you dislike Eliza? I mean, you'd be kind of a bad person if you did.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Good. Okay. So, anything you can tell us about the rest of the season?
I mean, I don't know what I got myself into. Craig and Austin, they're such wusses. They're like, Shep's mean. I'm like, you guys are such pussies, God damn it. That's how I feel about those guys, but I love them too. And we just go at each other's throats sometimes, and actually all the time. And that's what I do, because that's who I mean, I don't know. That's how I communicate with other males. I just, I can be scathing, let's put it that way. But I also will literally fight a tiger for you. You know what I mean? So I just, people who are sensitive, I just don't know how to handle it, because you're probably going to get upset with me at one point or another.
Well, that's a good note to end on. Thank you for coming.
Really? You're ending it?
They said they gave me the wrap-up.
Are we not dating anymore? You just broke up with me?
This was nice, but, like, I'll call you, okay?
Okay, all you right. Call me.
Okay, well, before we get into talking about this week's episode of Real Housewives of Potomac, we have to say congratulations to Michael and Ashley Darby because they have a baby.
A baby! Wait, it was a boy or a girl?
It's a little boy, and his name is To Be Determined.
Mm, that's a good name.
It's such a good name. You can shorten it TBD.
Or TBD.
Not TB, that's tuberculosis.
Yeah. His name's Dean Michael.
Oh, it's Dean Michael.
Dean Michael.
I feel like that is, I don't know, sticking it to the ladies a little bit. Like,
like, huh?
He's not going anywhere. In fact, my baby is named after him.
It also reminds me of, like, isn't there like a frozen food?
Jimmy Dean?
Yeah, is that
Jimmy
what I'm
Dean?
Thinking? Yeah, yep, I might be thinking of that.
Breakfast sausage.
But either way, congratulations, Ashley and Michael. And if you guys didn't know, we also launched the Real Housewives of Potomac after show on BravoTV.com. So that is up this week as well. And they talk about, will Ashley pursue a career as a pop star? Exactly what happened when Candace's mom may or may not have hit her in the face with a purse. So check that out. So we got to part two of the perhaps Potomac version of Dinner Party from Hell.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. I mean, there was not a cigarette-smoking psychic, but yet everything else.
Next time. Next time. Well, I loved launching right into it. Giselle is the queen of shade. And she threw Robin right under that bus real quick in the beginning of that conversation where she was just like, well, Robin heard it, so she can tell you exactly what she heard. And Robin's like, what? I didn't bring this up. Like, y'all are bringing this up. Why are you bringing me into it? And then all of a sudden it was like, Robin had to say it. Who else is going to say it?
I do feel bad for Robin. I think it's totally misdirected anger at her.
Do you? Robin was there. I wasn't there. But she, I was in shock.
What?
I'll let Robin take over.
Giselle? Like, what the
What happened? What?
Okay. So I thought I was dreaming. At L2, after the night wound down, Michael walked past us and was like, yeah, I would suck his dick.
Robin's just saying what happened because right. Someone prompted her to.
Yeah, exactly. And I think my big takeaway from kind of the whole episode is bringing this up to Ashley at this time. Half the time the women were like, we're here to protect you. We're trying to protect you. Like, we want to make sure he's not cheating on you. And then the other half felt like they were just trying to attack her. And then, you know, Michael's character and integrity. So what do you think the motivation really was bringing it up to Ashley?
I think to stir up trouble.
Right. Right. What do you think about the way Ashley reacted?
It's not how I think she should have handled it. You can't tell multiple people who are saying the same thing happened that's not correct.
Right. Well, even at the end when she and Robin are kind of fighting at Gay Pride, which the irony of them fighting about this topic at Gay Pride is not lost on me, but she kind of mentions like, well, that didn't happen. And Robin is like, why would I say it did? Like, it did happen. He did say that. Like, I'm not saying that he's gay. I'm not saying anything else. I'm saying what I heard.
Even Candace's husband, who really tried so hard to stay out of the drama, is like, I heard it too.
I can interject. I don't like to involve myself in women's issues, but in the moment it was said,
oh, Lord.
Robin and I both looked at each other like,
a dick hurting.
Hell, you have a man as a witness. We're done.
Right. Yes. Chris was like, I don't want to step in, but I'm stepping in. I mean, first of all, he had to keep restraining Candace like 4 to 5 times in that
dinner.
Why
did that turn me on?
I mean, he was like, at one point he was like straddling her to like block her and she's still trying to like get around him to like fight or whatever. But like, you know, props to you, Chris. But yeah, he got involved. He was like, listen, y'all can be fighting about this, but I'm going to let you know I heard it too.
Mm.
So why would Ashley continue to deny it if there's not? This is where I'm trying to think of like, oftentimes when people react that way and then like deny, maybe they're the ones in denial.
Mm.
I'm just saying, and it comes back to Robin's point of like, who knows what Michael's sexuality is, how he identifies, whatever. But he made a comment. It was heard by multiple people So why wouldn't Ashley just be like, I don't know why he said that. He was drunk. We were all drunk. Whatever. But the way she reacted was kind of suspicious to me.
Yeah.
Okay, what about Candace's mom? Yet again.
You call me names.
No, but you do all that, Candace.
Excuse me, Ken. You're doing it again.
Okay, Dr. Ken.
My God. I can't believe she's a therapist.
I can't either.
Like, I she must be totally different when it's her in the on the other side.
Right.
Because she was incapable of just listening.
Right. And he was like, he prepped her. He was like, listen, like, you are not the therapist in this situation.
I am, yeah.
You are, like, here to talk with your daughter. And she kept interrupting. And I feel like we've seen that dynamic so much with Candace and her that it's, like, it's really stressful to watch.
It's really stressful to watch.
Like, I can't imagine how Candace must feel being in that situation all the time. And I feel like over the course of the last season, this season, we've seen her make so many attempts to set boundaries with her mother and be like, this is what I feel, this is what I think. And her mother just never seems to take it seriously.
Well, it's like, first of all, as a therapist, shouldn't you be an expert at validating? Like, isn't that what therapy is all about, is like validating people's feelings?
And improv, yes and. You're always supposed to say yes and.
Oh.
Right? She needs an improv lesson. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
Right. And like, not once is she like, oh, I didn't realize like that's how you were seeing it, but now I hear what you're saying. She's like, no, Ashley, that didn't happen. No, Ashley, that's not what I said.
Right. And what keeps coming up too with the other women and Candace is, your mama pays for this house. Like, this is your mama's money or whatever. And even Candace's mom, Dorothy, brings it up a few times too, being like, well, I'm the one paying the bills around here. Like, I'm sending you $4,000 a month for this and that. But that is a separate issue from mistreating your daughter. Like, she can still pay her bills, but that doesn't mean you're being a good mother.
Right.
You know, yeah. Like, that's very different things. Financial support is different than emotional, yes. You know?
And I did think it was interesting that Candace was like, and by the way, you don't bankroll my entire life. You pay for this very, like, this one thing, but you make it seem like, which I thought so too.
Right. I mean, I am curious about, like, we know what Chris does for work. I don't totally know what
she's Candace... a Real Housewife of Potomac. Right.
But yeah, I mean, I hope that we see some resolution, because if you guys remember from weeks and weeks ago at this point, our interview with Giselle, where she says, by the end of the season, we're really going to be rooting for Candace. And in so many ways, I am, and I have been from the beginning, just given her relationship with her mom. But I'm really hoping that we see some more development there. And, you know, even the preview for next week's episode, we see her and Chris fighting again about her mom. So it's like, this has got to come to a resolution at some point.
Absolutely.
We also, I know that we have some drama coming up between Ashley and Karen, as much progress as the two of them have made. And I think we're starting to see those two unraveling when Giselle and Ashley are talking, and Giselle's sort of like, well, Karen was talking shit about you after you left at the dinner. Ashley was like, well, great. Like, you know, two steps forward, one step back, always with Karen. So I think we're, with what's going to come out next week with the allegations and all that, some friendships are going to fall apart.
Yeah.
In my interview with Below Deck Med's Hannah Ferrier, we recapped Chef Mila's interesting meals, what her best and worst moment of the charter was this season, and we got some updates on her dating life. Plus, we have a little crossover surprise for you towards the end of the interview, so don't miss that. Let's take a listen. Guys, we are here with Hannah Ferrier from Below Deck Mediterranean. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I wanted to talk a little bit first about last season. You know, you and Captain Sandy had, you know, a couple moments throughout the season. So did you feel like you had to prove yourself more this time around?
I think this time around it was definitely kind of make or break. We knew it would work or it wouldn't. So, yeah, we had a chat and worked out our kind of communication styles before the season. So, yeah, it was definitely a redemption season for me.
Do you feel like your relationship with her has gotten better now from this past season?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, that's good. Also, I cannot not ask about Chef Mila's food situation. So from the nachos to the cake, nothing really lived up to sort of what her resume kind of was showing. So did you ever feel awkward having to be like, I'm not taking this dish out?
Yeah, 100%. I refused to serve the nachos. And then with the cake, it was just bizarre to me because I was like, you've got three people standing here telling you that your cake tastes of baking soda. And her response was like, oh, I've tasted stronger. It's like, it's not supposed to taste of it at all. So I, you know, that was something I really didn't like doing because I had to take some to Sandy because I was like, well, you're not listening to me when I'm telling you we can't serve it. So I have to kind of go above your head.
Right, absolutely. I mean, where do you think she went wrong? Do you think it was just that her experience wasn't what she said it was? Or do you think it was nerves?
Mother dropped her on the head as a child. Who knows?
That's the only explanation, really, isn't it? Well, at least we did see Anastasia kind of step up because she had been a cook or a chef on the boat she was on prior. So yes, we saw her kind of step in. I mean, what was that sort of like? Were you proud of her? Were you happy that someone on your team was able to jump in there?
No. No. I'm selfish. She's a good third stew. I wanted her to stay in the cabin.
Right. Well, that's true. I mean, then that put a different stress on you and like what you needed to get done. But she did step it up at, you know, at first. So were you shocked to find out that she was able to really step it up like that?
Yes and no. I kind of think, honestly, anyone would have on the boat would have been better than me.
I don't know if I would have been, but
I think the difference is like with yacht chefs and being able, like I can cook a good 3-course meal 3 times. A yacht chef needs to be able to do it, you know, 80 times. So, but it was really good that we had her to step in because we couldn't keep serving food like that.
Did you feel even more pressure when Captain Sandy's friend, Dr. Jennifer, came on and it was her second time around?
Yeah, especially because she has something to compare it to. So, but at the same time, I know this sounds awful, but it's almost like when you're in a situation like that, the best thing to do is kind of resolve it as quickly as possible, because if you just have guests that keep saying, oh, it's nice, and, you know, it's not nice.
Right.
It just kind of makes your job harder.
Well, it's funny because I feel like we've seen you guys deal with some really difficult guests and then some who just kind of are a little more passive. They're like, oh, everything's fine.
Yeah.
So which one do you prefer? Do you prefer someone who's like a hard ass who's going to tell you what they want, or the sort of like, everything's fine guests?
In this situation, I'd actually prefer the hard ass, because then at least we can do something about the situation. If they're like, oh my God, this is almost as good as Taco Bell, you're like, it's not supposed to be almost as good as Taco Bell, you know? They have to complain in order for us to kind of take action.
Right, right. That makes sense. We've also seen a couple times this season some like hidden talents that I think we didn't expect from like Captain Sandy, for example. She sort of stepped in and was like slicing the meat. And I think we saw, you know, Colin was singing. Do you have any hidden talents that you want to share with us today?
No.
None that you don't, none that you want to share?
Exactly. None I want to share.
Okay, well, that's fair.
The DMs get hit up enough.
Well, on our show, too, we like to play a game called Rose and Thorns. So it's sort of like your favorite moment and your least favorite moment. So do you have anything looking back on this season right now that was a rose, and what would be a thorn?
The thorn is actually, funnily enough, the very last day of charter in the season. And the rose is probably the same, actually. I probably had my best and worst moment on the last day of charter this season.
Interesting.
So something to look forward to.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for that. I want to ask about your romantic life. We saw you doing some flirting and dating last season, and I think the teaser for this season, we saw a little bit of that too. So What's going on currently, dating-wise?
Dating-wise, I am dating someone. Have been for like 8 months now.
Okay.
So I met him like the day that I actually landed from filming in Sydney. So yeah, it's really different. I've kind of been single for like 6 years now, and I'm very used to like a lot of travel and just looking after myself. And whereas now it's like, I think I'm kind of like, oh, I'd prefer to like just be at home walking the dog than like in a nightclub.
Yeah, no, totally. Did you meet him at the airport? Like you said, you met him when you landed.
No, but I met him like at a bar.
Interesting.
The day I landed.
See, it can still happen. People are like, nobody meets people out anymore, but it can still happen.
It can, yeah.
Is he involved in the boating world at all?
No. That's one of the things I like most about him.
That was going to be my next question. Like, isn't that kind of nice to have someone outside of that world a little
bit? Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. We know that Joao is currently dating someone new, but in the trailer, he mentioned something about being jealous of you kissing Travis or something. Like, what's going on with you and Joao?
I was in front of him and I had a pulse.
Touché.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, where do you and Joelle stand today? Are you guys friends?
Yeah, look, we're friendly. Yeah, okay. I wouldn't particularly like hit him up as soon as I got to LA if I know he's there, but I also wouldn't ignore him if I ran into him in the lobby. So right.
Absolutely. Would you want to work with him again? Did you like working with him this season?
Yeah, he was good at his job and yeah. He was really nervous this season after last year, so that was good.
Right, yeah. Well, and he was in a whole new position too, and I think he probably felt like he had to prove himself even more so.
Definitely.
Well, we also wanted to ask you to do a little dramatic reading. I'm not sure if you've heard of Countess Luann's latest single, Feelin' Giovanni.
I have not.
Well, because everyone really loves your accent, would you do a dramatic reading of some of the lyrics?
Sure, why not?
I think you'll find these lyrics are quite interesting.
Okay. Showroom shopping, what to wear. Pick the dress, I don't care. That's my life, meet me there. Come along if you dare. She rhymes. Check the billboard, see my name, up in lights every day. Get your tickets, come and play cabarets, my cabernet. Can't escape this party scene, hell with Countess, now I'm queen. You can catch me on the street, fabulous and looking sweet. All decked out, head to toe, six inch heels, don't you know? Men will come and men will go, love yourself and let it show. Feeling Giovanni.
Beautiful. That was awesome. Thank you so much, Hannah, for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great day.
You too.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
Definitely from Below Deck Med. Colin being like, I'm like a fluffer. And then the producer being like, what do you think a fluffer is? And I'm like, you know. And they're like, no, it's a porn term. Getting someone hard before a scene.
A fluffer is like they prep like the actor or something, right? Right? Isn't that?
A fluffer is prepping
for porn. Oh! I thought that was like a general term in the movie biz. I should stop saying that.
He's so adorably naive. Like, he just wants to, like, be on boats and, like, just live his life, you know? And it's just like, man, this industry hasn't broken you yet. Come back on the podcast, okay? We'll break you.
What was your rose?
My rose was Denise Richards' outfit on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills when she went to the agency party. She was giving, like, disco ball, high class, hooker, all of it. And I loved it.
Okay, so that was my thorn.
No.
Because, by the way, when she has the agency hat on, it to me read more as like you're part of a Diddy video or something.
Ooh, you know, like, okay.
Which at a certain time was a look. Now it's just like, what's happening?
Right. I think adding the hat was a little bit unnecessary.
I did not like the coat.
I loved the coat. But I also appreciate that, like, she so often throws back to, like, her days with Charlie and all of the situations they went in. So when she was referring to her own outfit as like a high class hooker, she was like, listen, the hookers I know don't dress like this. I was just like, yes, Denise.
But I guess if I had to pick a different thorn, it would also be from Below Deck Med, and it would be watching the crew learn that dance.
That's painful.
There's something about, how do you put it into words? Like that feeling of just such secondhand embarrassment. But
I
why?
Think that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like whenever you're watching awkward behavior, you just can't help but take on a bit of that awkwardness, and then you feel awkward watching it even though you know they can't see. Like, it's just all weird.
Yeah,
it's like very layered awkwardness.
What was your thorn?
Well, my thorn, as I mentioned earlier when we were talking about Beverly Hills, is this sort of like 6 months later, like, let's meet up and have lunch, and all of us kind of go around and talk about how weird it was to run into Lisa Vanderpump.
I also bumped into Lisa Vanderpump, Neiman Marcus. So I said, hi, Lisa. And she went like, hello, like saying hello before you turned. She goes, hello, oh. Like, she was really shocked. And I said, how are you? And I said, I want you to know that I'm very sorry about how everything has turned out and everything that's happened between us. I really don't think it needed to be this way at all. And she said, well, you called me a liar.
Like, it just, I liked that they all got together and we sort of had that moment of like, all these women are together and they're talking about what's happened to them and what they're up to. But it always came back to Lisa Vanderpump.
I mean, to me, it read sort of as a farewell to LVP from the series.
That's interesting. I think that's a good point.
I think if Lisa hadn't quit publicly, they probably wouldn't have even included it, maybe.
Right. That's true. I mean, I just hope that I think we've seen these women get very close and develop strong bonds and relationships through the course of this season and their time in Provence and like all of the things that they went through together. I just hope that those relationships are founded in realness and not just founded in the fact that they all have something against Lisa Vanderpump.
Correct.
Because that's what I'm a little afraid of, like, you know, next season, whoever may come back, like, if there's not Lisa Vanderpump for everyone to sort of like talk about, are you guys still able to like maintain those friendships? And I hope so, because I think they do have some close bonds now.
Right.
We'll see. Next week, sticking with the Below Deck Med theme, we have Joao Franco, and we also will have Ramona Singer from Real Housewives of New York City talking reunion.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss.